Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Jane Clayson, and for Tom Ashbrook, this is On Point. The moment is now for GOP presidential candidate Mike Huckabee. In Iowa, he holds a double-digit lead over Mitt Romney. National polls put the former Baptist preacher neck and neck with Rudy Giuliani. He's on the cover of magazines and just about everywhere on TV. But Huckabee's newfound star power comes with new scrutiny and questions about the candidate and his record. This hour, On Point, Mike Huckabee's big moment. Joining me now from Washington, D.C. is Michael Isikoff. He's an investigative journalist for Newsweek magazine. He co-authored this week's cover story, Holy Huckabee, The Unlikely Rise of a Preacher Politician. Michael, so nice to have you.
Good day. Good to be with you.
Thank you. And with us from Arlington, Virginia, is James Pinkerton, contributor to the Fox News Channel and columnist for Newsday. He wrote yesterday that Mike Huckabee might be what the country is looking for right now. Welcome to you, Jim.
Thank you for having me.
And from Little Rock, Arkansas, we're joined by John Brummett. He's a columnist and reporter for the Arkansas News Bureau and has been following Mike Huckabee and a certain other Arkansas politician for years now. He is the author of the book High Wire, From the Backwoods to the Beltway, The Education of Bill Clinton. Nice to have you, John. Thanks.
Good to be with you. Thank you.
Michael Isikoff, I'll begin with you. Did you ever think you'd be doing a cover story on Mike Huckabee this close to the Iowa caucuses?
No, I never thought I'd be back in Little Rock as I was last week doing research for the cover. But look, Huckabee is a genuine phenomenon in this campaign.
And what do you make of this rise in the polls?
It's hard to know at this point. I mean, one reason, certainly it's a reflection of the weakness of the Republican field and the baggage that all the other top Republican candidates have, that people are looking for another voice, another candidate out there who can speak to the broad spectrum of the Republican coalition, which of course includes religious conservatives who have felt left out and have problems with both Mitt Romney and Rudy Giuliani. But it's also a testament to Huckabee's genuine appeal as a candidate, his affability, his rhetoric, which does seem to transcend, cultural and political and ethnic lines. He reaches out to a segment of the electorate that the other Republican candidates aren't. So all that is explains it. I mean, he's definitely been a much better candidate than anybody anticipated. But with that is going to come a lot of scrutiny, and that's what we were starting to do last week in Little Rock and taking a close look at his record, and you're going to see a lot more of that.
Jim Pinkerton, let me turn to you. Put Huckabee in context with the rest of the Republican field. Is this message what the GOP wants or needs?
I think he fills that sort of country western demographic that the Republican Party sort of is tilted toward, southern western heartland, if you will. A couple of years ago, everybody thought that the sort of the future figure in that field would be former Senator George Allen of Virginia, who was going to run for president. Of course, he got beat in his own reelection campaign in Virginia last year and took him out. And then there was kind of a competition for sort of the Sun Belt vote between former Governor Gilmore of Virginia, former Senator Fred Thompson of Tennessee, and a few others who thought about running, like Mark Sanford of South Carolina. And the one who was left standing is, of course, Mike Huckabee, who is, I think we all agree, something in the water in Hope, Arkansas that generates pretty good talkers and pretty good politicians. Mm-hmm.
John Brummett, you've been covering Huckabee for a long time. Are you surprised by this recent rise in the polls, or were you expecting it?
Well, it's on record that I wrote that he'd have a moment in the sun. I thought something like this would happen, but I didn't think the moment would be quite this bright.
And why is it?
Well, he's got, for the reasons that have been discussed, the field is weak. There was an opening. He's sort of survived the demolition derby. He has political skills that we sort of nurture in Arkansas as a small state that places a premium on retail politics and a personal connection. So I thought he would, I thought he would capture some of the evangelical vote, which is important in Iowa especially. But jumping up by a double-digit lead and now being taken seriously as a potential actual nominee for president is something I'm not quite gotten my arms around just yet.
Michael Isakoff, John mentions the evangelical vote. How much does Huckabee's history as a Southern Baptist minister play into his rise? In his TV ads, he touts himself as a quote, Christian leader. Is this about the loyalty of the evangelicals on the religious right?
Well, it's certainly partly about that. I mean, he is one of them, literally. It's not a reach. He doesn't have to reach out to this constituency. Mm-hmm. He is a preacher. That's his background. He came up through the Southern Baptist Convention, and he doesn't run away from it or shy it. He's playing that trump card, and obviously, Iowa caucus. That's a very powerful trump card. If you remember. It was Pat Robertson who did very well in the Iowa caucus a number of years ago. I think that for Huckabee to has double advantage. It plays to that constituency, but also it's for him completely authentic. I mean, as he points out, that's who he is. That's his entire history as a politician, and so therefore to talk in religious terms, I think it goes further for him than it does for other candidates. Mm-hmm. But it also has potential pitfalls, as we saw last week when he spoke at the Liberty University and asked to explain his rise in the polls. He seemed to attribute it to divine intervention. Mm-hmm. Now, that's going to be unsettling to some voters.
Mm-hmm. Jim Pinkerton, look beyond Iowa then and take us to places like New Hampshire, where Huckabee is trailing in the polls.
Right. I think that if Mitt Romney can't win New Hampshire, then he might as well, go back to, being a venture capitalist. Certainly, for all the reasons that Mike just said, Huckabee is a hard sell in New Hampshire and in much of the New England. Huckabee's, will go from Iowa and then do whatever he does in New Hampshire and then get himself to South Carolina. But I would just add to the point about the Christian leader stuff. And that is that, as Huckabee would say, look, it's no question his faith informs him in all possible ways. But if you look at his record, and I'm sure John, has much more to say about it than I, it does appear that he worries about education and roads and health care and wellness and so on. I mean, it's not as if he spends all his time just talking about abortion and gay marriage. He wouldn't have gotten elected statewide in Arkansas four times if he weren't as focused as anybody on making the daily bread and butter lives of Arkansas better. And I think that's a major part of his appeal, is that he speaks to the sort of the economic circumstances of ordinary Republicans, many of whom nowadays are working in middle class.
Mm-hmm. So, John Brummett, talk about his record for a minute. Is Mike Huckabee, the presidential candidate, the same man you followed for years as a governor?
But first I think I want to sort of talk a little bit about this being a creature of the pulpit. He's that, but before he was in a pulpit, he was in a radio booth.
Right.
This guy's from the age of 13, he was on the air as a very glib, talented disc jockey in Hope, Arkansas.
He's very media savvy.
Very media savvy. He's not just a religious creature or a preaching creature. He is very attuned to what we do. Very keen to it, and I think that's been very, very helpful to him. In terms of governor of Arkansas, clearly he's a social and religious conservative, but he's an economic pragmatist. He believes in making government work, at least in a small, needy state like this, where government has an important role to play. The Club for Growth has been on his case as for raising a lot of taxes or going along with a lot of tax increases. He has indeed done that, and he believes in expanded health insurance for children, investing the state share of the tobacco settlement in health and health education, highway bonds for a road program. He's a government guy, mm-hmm. so there's more to him than just the social conservative and the preaching, and I think that has been a lot of what's caused him to catch fire even beyond that base.
But Michael Isakoff, his record aside, his rise in the polls aside, he has little money, Mike Huckabee, and hardly any campaign organization. So can he maintain his status as a top-tier candidate without either of those things moving forward?
Well, it's all a matter of just how much of a jump he does get if he wins Iowa. I mean, I think at this point he's got to win Iowa to sustain himself as a candidate. Mm-hmm. And if he does, the past history would suggest that you get an enormous boost from that. The Big Mo, as George H.W. Bush once referred to it, and the money starts coming in, and people start to see him as a credible presidential candidate, which they haven't until now. Mm-hmm. So, he's still got a long way to go here. We're, mm-hmm. We haven't had a single caucus, a single primary. Yeah. But the strategy, I think to some degree, I mean, he's peaking probably a couple of weeks before he would want to peak. I mean, the ideal scenario is you win Iowa by surprise. At this point, he's ahead in the polls. He's got to win Iowa. Otherwise the balloon starts to deflate a bit.
Jim Pinkerton, before we go to break, can he be a crossover candidate, Mike Huckabee? Is he electable, do you think, in a national election?
I think if you look back at American history since World War II, almost all the candidates who win are heartline candidates. The only exception was John Kennedy in 1960. The rest of them are from places like Missouri and Georgia, and the Beverly Hills parts of California. So I think that in many ways, if I were Hillary Clinton, who's moved from Illinois to Arkansas or New York,
yep.
I'd be kind of nervous about Huckabee stealing away the kind of John Edwards constituency that the Democrats are counting on.
This is On Point. I'm Jane Clayson in for Tom Ashbrook. We're talking about GOP presidential candidate Mike Huckabee. I'm joined this hour by Michael Isikoff, an investigative journalist for Newsweek magazine and co-author of the current cover story, Holy Huckabee, The Unlikely Rise of a Preacher Politician. Also, Jim Pinkerton is with us. He's a columnist for Newsday and fellow at the New America Foundation. And from Little Rock, Arkansas, John Brummett. He's a longtime political watcher and columnist for the Arkansas News Bureau. I want to play a clip here at the top. On Monday, Mitt Romney, trailing Huckabee now in Iowa, launched a TV attack ad slamming Huckabee for his stance on immigration.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Two former governors, two good family men, both pro-life, both support a constitutional amendment protecting traditional marriage. The difference? Mitt Romney stood up and vetoed in-state tuition for illegal aliens, opposed driver's licenses for illegals. Mike Huckabee supported in-state tuition benefits for illegal immigrants. Huckabee even supported taxpayer-funded scholarships for illegal aliens. On immigration, the choice matters.
And yesterday, at a press conference in Council Bluffs, Iowa, Huckabee responded to Romney's ad.
The more desperate and frantic campaigns get when they see how much money they've spent and we're winning, that causes people to do some sometimes desperate things.
So, Michael Isikoff, let's talk about this for a moment, because Mitt Romney has been accused of flip-flopping on issues, but Mike Huckabee has also shifted some of his own positions as of late. Talk about specifically immigration and the much tougher tone he's taken in recent weeks.
Well, rhetorically, he's trying to address this issue by suggesting he would be tough on illegal immigrants as well. I mean, it's clearly been a potent political issue, especially in throughout this presidential campaign. You saw how Hillary Clinton got stumbled on the issue of driver's licenses for illegal aliens. So, it plays certainly more strongly in the Republican primary, and Romney's trying to take advantage of it. Huckabee is tilting tactically, or at least rhetorically, but he isn't running away from his record on this, and he has defended his position. He said, I think. Somewhat eloquently, that the children of illegal immigrants shouldn't be punished for what their parents did, and if they performed in Arkansas schools and earned scholarships, they ought to be able to receive them. And I think that's a kind of compassionate conservative position, perhaps, that might appeal to voters as well. So I don't know how Romney's ad you just played does have a certain harshness to it. Um, I, I just don't know how it's going to play.
Jim Pinkerton, let me ask you about a couple of stumbles that Mike Huckabee has had this last week. His ignorance of the foreign affairs was on display, I guess you'd call it, when he admitted that he hadn't heard of the National Intelligence Estimate on Iran a day after its release. What do you make of this and other things like it?
Oh, that's the campaign trail. I mean, look, nobody thinks that Mike Huckabee is a great expert on foreign policy, although, of course, one could argue the existing experts haven't done too well. So I sort of find myself in sympathy with Barack Obama saying, look, experience in life seems to be better than experience in Washington when it comes to managing foreign affairs. But I actually heard Huckabee a while back give a speech on this, and he said, listen, in my world of faith, things are black and white. There's right and wrong, there's absolute good, there's absolute evil. But, he said in the same sentence, in politics, things are shades of gray. Things are complicated. And I'm not sure that Huckabee was thinking of Martin Luther, who said 500 years ago that we should be guided by the light of faith and by the light of reason in the respective spheres. But if he is thinking like that, that's pretty good, I think, in terms of, look, you can always learn new things. The question is, do you have basic judgment and common sense about what's feasible? And I think a lot of what we've seen in Washington in recent years and decades speaks to a distinct lack of common sense.
John Brummett, you've said in your writings, you've written in writings that Huckabee has a very contradictory quality to him. What did you mean by that?
Well, I've got a whole theme of columns, sort of a Jekyll and Hyde thing, good Mike, bad Mike. He's truly, he may be the genuine compassionate conservative. We're talking about the immigration issue.
Mm-hmm.
He's been extraordinarily compassionate and open-minded on that issue, and it's caused him great problems in Arkansas with the conservative religious base. In fact, he said of the conservative religious base in Arkansas that he considers anti-immigrant. They drink a different Jesus juice than I do, which was a rather extraordinary thing to say. So that's part of him. But he's also can be petulant. He can be thin-skinned. He can be mean-spirited. These are all things you get on the second impression. He's out there now making a wonderful first impression, and he does make a wonderful first impression. But there are other aspects, ethical impairment, sort of an addiction to receiving gifts and not being publicly accountable about them. Things that that Newsweek touched on this week. Those are the further parts of his profile. That people will eventually need to become familiar with.
Michael Isikoff, let's talk about a few of those issues and things that you've uncovered in your reporting. The group Action America, this nonprofit organization that Huckabee set up when he was lieutenant governor, what's at the heart of this?
Well, this actually became an issue in Arkansas when he became governor, during his lieutenant governor days. The press, I think it was the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, first discovered that a nonprofit corporation had been set up by his political supporters in Texas, not in Arkansas, to pay Huckabee to go around giving speeches around the country. It was essentially a way of supplementing Huckabee's income when he was in a low-paying job of Arkansas lieutenant governor, and also raising his political profile nationally.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that Huckabee has never released the donors to this organization, who gave the money that was funding his political career and also putting money in his pocket. Reasonable question. He said he couldn't because he had promised confidentiality to these people, and also it would be a violation of tax laws if he would release the donors. Well, last week, I discovered that two of the people who set the fund up were both consultants to the R.J.R. Reynolds Tobacco Company at the time, which was very interested in fighting Hillary Clinton's health care proposals, and they gave a substantial contribution to the to Action America that was never disclosed at the time, saw Huckabee as a vehicle to go around and help fight the Hillary Clinton health care proposals. Huckabee, I think what's probably most interesting about this is when we confronted Huckabee with this and asked him about it,
mm-hmm.
There was a bit of a Clintonian response to it. He didn't. We asked him about some specific meetings where it was discussed. He said he couldn't recall them. He said he didn't know about the R.J.R. Reynolds tobacco contribution. The president of Action America told me last week he finds that inconceivable. He said he was incredulous that when Huckabee said he didn't know that R.J.R. Reynolds was a contributor to this. So I think that's where, you know, he's going to start to get these scrutiny, and then his answers are going to be scrutinized to this. I should say there's kind of an interesting coda to this story, which is that Huckabee actually is anti-smoking. In fact, one sort of amusing anecdote is that one of the meetings where all this was being discussed, he asked the R.J.R. Reynolds tobacco executives to step outside of his apartment and smoke, because he didn't allow smoking in his apartment. And then, of course, a few years ago, he signed a pretty stringent anti-smoking in the workplace ban mm-hmm. in the state of Arkansas, which annoyed the people who had helped contribute to this fund.
Let me bring some callers into the conversation. Philip is on the line now from Sharon, Massachusetts. Hi, Philip.
Hi, Jane. I have a couple quick points.
Sure.
Well, Massachusetts moderate, and I've switched over to Huckabee about 3 weeks ago after hearing him speak for the first time really eloquently, in my opinion. I think it's a wonderful expression of who he really is. Second of all, my father's been a minister, and he's still a minister. My grandfather was a minister for 60 years, Baptist. And that is really the microcosm and test for becoming president. If you can run an organization, a church that has so many diverse people in it and their views and do it well, then you really have the tools to become the president of the United States. And then third, I don't think this whole money issue with the RJR is anything to talk about. If you're working in your job and someone offers you $100,000 to help you live, I don't think it's going to change your ethics. I don't think you would do something unethical. I don't think the American people would do something ethical just because they're getting paid.
All right, Philip, thanks so much for your thoughts. One more call now from Michael, who's in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Hi, Michael. Welcome.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I think that Mike Huckabee, he will not be able to sustain his rise in the, as a viable candidate for the nomination. Why? Because of the fact that he has some archaic viewpoints. One is, he was quoted as saying that he thinks women should gracefully submit themselves to their husband. Secondly, I don't know how good his record was down in Arkansas in regards to the issues of health care, education. Arkansas is a state that normally is down at the bottom in those areas. I wonder what his record is in those two areas. But thirdly, he's also was associated with, he and his wife had a 30-year anniversary. He's out there trying to get people to give him gifts at a 30-year anniversary. And then his issue with Dumont and how he's parsing words in regards to, he said that he didn't appoint the people to the parole board, but not communicating the fact that he didn't meet with people on the parole board and sign a letter.
Yeah, the parole is an issue I'm going to get to. I take your point, though, about sustaining the rise in the polls, and I want to take that to Jim Pinkerton. Similar to what Pat Robertson, who won Iowa in 1988 and then sort of fizzled out, is this...
No, Dole won Iowa.
Yes, exactly. Is this
but
something...
Robertson came in second, beat Bush, but then fizzled after that.
Right.
I think the difference is that look, Robertson, you know, and Huckabee are different figures. Huckabee got himself elected governor of Arkansas three times, and plus, or maybe twice, I guess, and then a lieutenant governor twice. There's a record there, which obviously, as that caller just illustrated, is going to get scrutinized enormously, including everything that he did wrong, and obviously, the Wayne Dumont case loomed large on that score, and of course, Massachusetts, gave America Michael Dukakis with the furlough issue. So these things have a resonance that should not be underestimated. The issue, though, is does Huckabee have something positive to say about health care, for example? Does he say something about, as I've heard him say, this impressed me. Look, there's not enough money in the world to pay for health care if we're all fat like I was, like Huckabee was, and have diabetes or get diabetes. I mean, there's just a sort of a common sense about the way the government should work and get things done. Are we so satisfied with the way Katrina relief was handled by both parties in New Orleans, both the Democrats in Louisiana mm-hmm. and the federal government nationwide, that we think there's no need for new thinking and new ideas here? Those are all good challenges to have, but again, the voters, as they evaluate Huckabee, do have the benefit of being able to take a look at more than a decade in the governor's mansion in Little Rock.
So, Michael Isikoff, let me turn back to you, because the caller brings up the issues of of this full-page ad that Huckabee signed in 1998, saying that his wife should submit graciously to her servant husband. And then last week, the Associated Press reported statements Huckabee made in 1992 as he was running for the U.S. Senate about AIDS patients, that we need to take steps that would isolate the carriers of this plague, quote unquote. What do you make of these sort of statements and the history of them and how it will affect him in the future?
Well, I think we're probably going to be hearing more of these. You know, he has a long track record. He has a long record that people are going to be combing over, looking for statements of that kind. Like I said, I mean, I found his comment last week about when asked to explain his surge in the polls at Liberty University, and he says it was attributed to an experience beyond human, and quoted scripture. And I think that's a more current statement that I think people are going to want to put under a microscope. And yeah, I think he's going to have to explain himself, but he is very glib, he's very articulate, and he's very skillful at responding to these questions and coming off not as a hardcore fundamentalist religious conservative. And because he can talk his way out of a lot of these statements, they may not be as much baggage as people, as they would for other people.
John Brummett, the caller brought it up, and I'd like to ask you about the issues that have been in the press the last few days about Huckabee and the pardons that he made as governor. I guess he had twice as many pardons and commutations as his three predecessors combined. Is that right?
I believe that's correct. He mm-hmm. certainly had more, far more. It's part of his compassionate side. It's part of his sort of outsiderism. He's a minority of a minority party in Arkansas, and he always thinks he's taking on a one party culture, and he sees corruption or inappropriate conduct in some of these in some of the trials and some of the convictions that he sees, and he also believes his religious background has him believing strongly in redemption. Mm-hmm. So he has been, you could say, an easy mark for folks coming in wanting commutations or pardons, and he's done a lot of them. The most famous, of course, being the DeMond, the convicted rapist. The victim was a distant cousin of Bill Clinton. Huckabee saw all sorts of Clintonian maneuverings in that. He thought he was confronting an East Arkansas corrupt criminal justice system, and he clearly wanted this fellow released from prison, and he later raped again and killed, and that's right. The one that's been getting most of the attention.
You wrote a piece this week where you said that Mike Huckabee lets his religion lead him to overly simplistic, combative, and dramatic moral judgments and declarations. Can you expand on that?
Well, basically, what I was talking about there was a previous discussion. I forget who was talking about it, about the invoking Martin Luther and the reason and the black and white and the gray. I've always thought he didn't see gray very well. He has a bit of a chip on his shoulder, and sort of culturally and from his economic background, and then he's in a minority party in a predominantly Democratic state, and then the religion factor. It all causes him to make very firm, harsh, sometimes simplistic, overly dramatic judgments, as I think he's done on some of these pardons and commutations. If a preacher friend of his would come to him and say, "I've been talking to so and so, and I believe he now has seen the light," Huckabee would tend to favor some sort of relief, a commutation or pardon in that case. And then he simply has a certain has kind of a huffiness about the way he responds to ethics charges, because he says ethics is not something that the government can regulate. Mm-hmm. That's your morality is between you and your God, and it's nobody else's mm-hmm. business. That's the kind of thing I've been talking about.
This is On Point. I'm Jane Clayson in for Tom Ashbrook. We're talking about GOP presidential candidate Mike Huckabee and his rise on the national stage. I'm joined this hour by Michael Isikoff, investigative journalist for Newsweek magazine and co-author of the current cover story, Holy Huckabee, The Unlikely Rise of a Preacher Politician. Also, Jim Pinkerton is with us. He's columnist for Newsday and has been following the 08 race closely. And from Little Rock, Arkansas, John Brummett joins us. He's columnist for the Arkansas News Bureau. Before I bring another voice into the conversation, I'd like to play a clip from an interview last week with Iowa Public Radio, where GOP hopeful Mike Huckabee was asked how he liked being at the top of the polls in Iowa.
Well, it feels a lot better than it does to be on the bottom, and I've been there. And having been both places, the top is much more pleasant. We're not being overly optimistic that we'll stay there through the caucuses, but we think we'll be in certainly contention when the caucuses are over in one of those top three slots that get us on to the next place. We clearly are grateful to the people of Iowa. They've responded incredibly well to our message. They did at the straw poll. They're doing more so even now. And we think January 3rd is going to be a great night for us.
So joining me now from Des Moines, Iowa, is Jonathan Martin, senior political reporter for Politico.com. Jonathan, welcome.
Hey, Jane. How are you?
Good. Fine. Thank you. Give us a feel for what's going on there in Iowa on the ground at the moment.
Well, the ground's covered with snow, so I'll give you that feel first. But beyond that, this race has really become a much changed one in the past few weeks. Huckabee's ascent has been rapid. It has stunned many observers here. And what he has essentially done is filled the vacuum. It's sort of the anti-Romney vacuum. Many thought that there would eventually be somebody who would sort of be that conservative opponent who would coalesce support from the broad base here of Christian conservatives. They just thought it was going to be somebody else, like Fred Thompson. Turns out the folks here flirted with Fred, but eventually fell for Huck, and he has established a solid lead here, and that is underscored by the fact that Mitt Romney has become the first candidate of either party to go on the air with a negative ad, and he's done so here in Iowa, and he's done so against Huckabee on the issue of immigration.
So what about Huckabee's organization in Iowa?
Well,
how strong is it?
Not very.
Yeah.
In fact, I wrote a piece last weekend. Essentially, this race is coming down to Huckabee's momentum and enthusiasm versus Romney's organization. It's sort of a head versus heart dynamic that has long dominated this campaign. Romney's got this, button-down operation with, smart, savvy operatives that are crunching numbers in sort of the Bush-Rove Millman style. They got all 99 counties lined up here in Iowa. Huckabee's running more of a seat-of-his-pants operation, picking up support from evangelical pastors, homeschoolers, those kind of folks. It's loose-knit. It's sort of bottom up, and they're hoping that these folks come out. So it kind of remains to be seen. But right now, Huckabee appears to be in the lead, and passion appears to be trumping organization.
And then beyond Iowa, what about New Hampshire and Florida, South Carolina, and beyond?
Well, therein lies Huckabee's other challenge, which is the fact that, beyond what he's got going here, he's got, serious progress to make in those states. There's a new poll out today in New Hampshire by the University of New Hampshire, well-respected survey. Huckabee still lags there behind Romney, Giuliani, and McCain. Obviously, his brand of sort of, deep-fried folksy conservatism does not play as well among the Yankees in New Hampshire, so he's got some work to do. But he's not putting all of his chips here in Iowa. It's fascinating. After this debate today, he is going to take off and do a couple-day swing in New Hampshire. He and his campaign, Jane, recognize that they just can't run a Iowa-only strategy. He's got to have something in place beyond, so his victory here is not a hollow one.
Jonathan, hold for a moment. I'd like to bring another caller into this conversation from Iowa City, Iowa, is Mary. Hi, Mary. Welcome.
Hi. Romney is such a liar. That's why this is why Huckabee can overtake him.
Yeah.
And then Huckabee has that Baptist church background.
Right.
And if you listen to the person from Arkansas, he talked about how he was a disc jockey, then a preacher, and then a politician. That's how it works in the South, because I know among African Americans, when they come up north, that's how they work it to gain power in the city. And he's telling a message to the Iowans that's music to the ears. He's like Clinton and Carter rolled into one. He's preaching this gospel, and it's like music, and he's got these Iowans hypnotized.
Mm.
And, well, he's a Republican, and I just can't vote for a Republican, but I'm telling you, the man is a charmer, and it'll work on the East Coast, too. It worked for Clinton, And it worked for Carter, too.
Mary, thank you so much. Mary, Jonathan, you want to comment?
I do, because Mary raises two very, very shrewd points. The first one being that, you know, Huckabee is somebody who's got a natural gift. He is a performer. John Brummett, who's a longtime columnist in Arkansas, who I think is going to be on the show here in a minute, wrote a very, very smart piece recently. Huckabee is a preacher, but more than that, he's a gifted performer, and it's beyond the pulpit. He's got that gift for gab. He can connect. And that's been a huge asset for him in Iowa, which is a retail-heavy state where you've got to work voters individually in small groups, and Huckabee's got the gift to make the connection with folks. And then secondly, the Clinton comparison, you know, there is something in the water down in Hope, Arkansas, and perhaps John Brummett can explain it better, but the fact is these are very, very similar politicians who just have an extraordinary ability to move beyond sort of partisan labels and traditional partisan definitions and shade a little bit here and there, but, you know, at the end really make a connection with voters and convince voters that they care about them and they can relate to their lives and their struggles and their challenges.
Jonathan Martin joining us from Des Moines, Iowa, senior political reporter for Politico.com. Jonathan, thanks so much.
Thank you.
So Jonathan talked about it. John Brummett, you've thought about it and talked about it as well. Mike Huckabee sort of being in the same position as another Arkansas governor who burst onto the scene, Bill Clinton in 92. Do you see similarities here?
Well, sure, and I think it's not necessarily something in the water, but it's something in our political culture. We're the least Republican, least traditionally conservative southern state. We're a culturally conservative but economically populist state in which people are nominally Democrats, but they're not partisan about it. And we're also a small, relatively sparsely populated state where we put a premium on personal politics and the ability to make a personal connection. That sounds like Iowa in many respects. And the reason, and I think it's that kind of political talent that we nurture, that we require and nurture, that you saw in Clinton, that you're seeing now in Huckabee. It's a way to appeal to what you call crossover voters. It's a way to straddle a base, as Clinton did from the left to the center, and Huckabee does it from the right to the center, and then it is enhanced by these personal political skills. And to some extent, I would also argue that Hillary Clinton's success, though she lacks a lot of that personal connection, maybe because she's not native, she learned a lot about how to have a moderate appeal through her time in Arkansas. I don't mean to say that we're the laboratory of the nation's politics, but it is interesting that we continue to turn out these particularly talented politicians who catch on elsewhere.
Jim Pinkerton, what do you think about that?
Well, I agree. You know, the southern states with the premium on seniority and, you know, electing them young and keeping them in office and so on. It's kind of they've often used politics as sort of a way of, frankly, extracting money from the Yankees, and it worked pretty well. I would just add, though, that in terms of Huckabee, we got to remember he's running against other people, and that caller from Iowa who said just flat out, Romney's a liar. Now, I'm not, you know, no offense to Governor Romney, but it's hard. You can spend a lot of money on your campaign, and if people think bad of you, you're not going to win.
So, Michael Isikoff, you report aspects of Mike Huckabee's personality in your Newsweek piece, things like an explosive temper. You quote an Arkansas state senator who said it was always my way or else from Mike Huckabee. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, I got to say, when you talk to the state legislators, people that worked with Huckabee in his years as governor, you do see, you hear at least another side to him. I think John Brummett referred to it, some of it before, the sort of pettiness, short-tempered dimension to him. I think that one of the things that struck me in his battles with conservative Republicans in the legislature, he had a habit of calling them Shiites. An example, and another we cited in the piece of, you know, one of them banging on the table so much the trinkets came off.
Right.
You don't see that on the campaign trail, but I think more broadly in talking to people who work closely with Huckabee. I also got a sense that people didn't saw him certainly as pragmatic, certainly very concerned with media coverage of him and his actions as governor, but they didn't see a deeply serious policy side to him, mm-hmm. of somebody who'd thought deeply about governing and policy and some of the sort of broad social and political issues of the day. And I think that's where he's really going to be tested over time. How deeply does he understand not just foreign affairs? And of course, there's going to be a lot of questions about that. This is going to be an election that's going to be largely decided about foreign affairs, and his background and depth of knowledge on these issues is going to be really tested. But also even on domestic issues. Healthcare and other issues. How much has he thought through these issues? He says a lot of things that sound appealing, but does he have detailed, substantive policy positions?
Let's go back to the phones now. Les is on the line from Lebanon, New Hampshire. Hi, Les. Welcome.
Hi. Hello.
Hi. Go ahead.
My comment was just I was surprised when I first learned about Huckabee on a Glenn Beck interview a while back that he wasn't doing better when I heard the issues he held. And I felt like he spoke to a portion of conservatives that didn't feel that the issues that mattered were coming through. And I think, as opposed to some of the other candidates, he doesn't come across as somebody who recent polls have told him these would be good positions to have, but that he truly, sincerely believes them, which goes a long way. I think with voters like me, where I'm concerned that the president has to do a lot of stuff behind closed doors with information that the public's never going to see, and I want to know that somebody truly holds these issues. And also, I think somebody else commented on his concern that he felt, you know, God was behind this. I think people of faith know that he doesn't mean that in terms of God's going to give him like specific words or directions. He's going to do things that are concern in the but then that he has accountability, but God is behind the workings of who becomes elected in our country, and so it doesn't cause concern I think the crazy sense that people like to take that quote, but that it's a humility that I think goes with that it's not about him or his organization.
Okay, Les, thank you. I appreciate your thoughts. Another call in now from Ron, who's in Mason City, Iowa. Hi, Ron. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
I just feel that this religious right and socially conservative, if that's what got us this present administration, I don't know if there's a Republican that's electable. And secondly, I don't think that way. I've been a lifelong Republican, and I think I'm going to the Democratic caucuses and see if I can make a difference there.
Ron, thanks. Michael Isikoff, do you want to comment on that?
Well, it's interesting. I'd be curious to know which Democratic candidate the last caller is going to support in the caucuses. But just getting back to the policy position, I'm wondering. I don't monitor talk radio, right-wing talk radio, all that closely. But I know, I'd be fascinated to hear how they handle a Huckabee candidacy, because so much of what he said is so anathema to the sort of fervent, whipped up kind of comments you hear, in Rush Limbaugh world on the immigration issue. I think they're going to have a difficult time of it if Huckabee becomes the nominee.
John Brumman, I wanted to ask you, I've been reading a little bit about reporters who are looking for copies of some of the sermons, the old sermons that Mike Huckabee has delivered, and they're hard to come by. Do you know anything about that?
I've never found one, and in fact, I've heard that he is not so much distinguished as a preacher, that he's fine, but he emerged politically, really, when there was a rift in the Arkansas Baptist Convention between fundamentalists and people who were more moderate, and he typically was able to bridge that gap and appeal to both sides and got elected president of the State Baptist Convention, which, with what amounted to a political address to the convention, about merging those two sides. I've never seen a text of one of his sermons. I know that he, in addition to preaching in Pine Bluff and Texarkana, Arkansas, he created his own cable network, and he was always on television.
Right.
He loves the media, and
yeah.
that was the thing he enjoyed more than the preaching. So surely there are occasions out there, and we hear some of his theology in bits and pieces. But as somebody who's covered him for more than a decade, I've never heard him preach or read the text of a sermon. I simply haven't.
We'll wrap up this hour with the final thoughts from our other two panelists. Jim Pinkerton, you first.
Well, I would just say that the caller who said that, you know, there's not enough conservative, you know, republicanism, I think actually that's Huckabee's sort of appeal, is that he's not like Bush. Obviously he shares some similarities with Bush and any other Republican, but his message, if you listen to him, is preoccupied with domestic issues and domestic concerns, and shows the kind of flexibility, including on taxes, that just isn't at all what you'd expect out of the Rush Limbaugh playbook. I think that's actually why he is resonating with the sort of mid-level and downscale voters who feel alienated from both the elites in the Republican and Democratic parties.
Michael Isikoff, your final thoughts?
Final thoughts is just the tension that we've talked about between the affable, clearly talented political skills that he's demonstrated that's got him this far, and this sort of other side that we've been talking about in his days as governor, the sort of thin-skinned, you know, pettiness, the tendency to be evasive at times. I think that tension is going to be the one to watch here, and how he holds up. Running for president is a very grueling experience. You get confronted with a lot of stuff get thrown at you, some of it unfair, and how you handle it, how you handle the scrutiny and the criticism is going to be the most important thing to see whether Huckabee survives.
Michael Isikoff, investigative journalist for Newsweek magazine. Always great to talk with you, Michael. Thanks.
Thank you.
Jim Pinkerton, columnist for Newsday. Thanks for your time, Jim. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And John Brummett, columnist and reporter for the Arkansas News Bureau. Thanks for your insights, John.
Thank you.
We go out this hour listening to Mike Huckabee playing the bass with a middle school band in New Hampshire. I'm Jane Clayson, in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.